and welcome to the CWF Gamecast. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. I want to welcome you to today's episode. You might notice that today it's just me. My co-host, Tom Barbalay, is not around, and that's basically because this is an impromptu recording. It's not going to be a full episode. I do need to warn you in advance. The reason why I'm doing this episode is just to, one, to get an episode out this week, because I am recording the Sunday before HuzzahCon up in Maine, and also because I want to talk a little bit about Huzzah and conventions, I guess, in general. So I wanted to kind of do a little bit about that. Tom had been busy doing some recordings previously, and he's, of course, always working on his other podcast. So I just thought I would get back into the fray, because you've been listening to him quite a bit lately, and just put a little recording up myself. So, like I said, in today's episode, we are going to talk about Huzzah. And HuzzahCon takes place up in Portland, Maine. This year is the second year that it will be running. Portland is a great venue. It's by the sea, has lots of places to shop, lots of places to go out to eat. So we're going to talk a little bit about some things you could do outside of the convention. Of course, the reason we're all there is to go and play in HuzzahCon. So, like I said, Huzzah, it's a historical miniatures, historical wargaming convention. They actually spend quite a bit of time on Advanced Squad Leader. It's very big up there. It's a game I don't actually play. One of my friends, Adrian, is really into it, so I know he's looking forward to playing that. But Huzzah is put on by the Maine Historical Wargaming Association. This is going to be my first year playing, and I'm signed up for some great events. One of the things I'm really looking forward to is the chance to actually use the Black Powder rule set put out by Warlord Games. I know sometimes when we talk about Black Powder, Tom and I just kind of say Black Powder as if, you know what we're talking about. It sometimes gets past us that, Black Powder is a whole time period, but when we talk about Black Powder, we're talking about Warlord Games' rule set, the one put out by Gav Thorpe and Rick Priestley. So if you're listening to us and we say Black Powder in general, even if we forget to say it, chances are we're talking about the Warlord Games rule set. So they're actually running a lot of events at Huzzah, and the one that I'm really most excited about, because I get to use the Black Powder rule set, is it's a Civil War one, which makes sense because this is a huge anniversary for the American Civil War. So the game is called Battle of Alusti, which I thought was a made-up battle. Being a history and politics major, you would think that I would have known that it was real. And sadly, I didn't. But thankfully, I did a little research, and I went on, on Wikipedia, and I said, let me see what's going on. And it's an actual battle. It was the largest battle in Florida fought during the American Civil War. So I'm actually really looking forward to going and playing in that event. I know my friend Adrian's also going to be there. There's a couple other games I'm going to be playing in. I will be playing in Raiders of the Sulu Sea. I actually think I'm playing in that on Friday night. I will be playing in Remember the Alamo, which I believe takes place on Saturday evening. And those are the games I'm set up for. Raiders of the Sulu Sea sounded really interesting, a nice naval game. I'm really into naval games, as you may have guessed, because I play Wizards of the Coast, War at Sea. Also, Battle of Alusti, like I said, because of Black Powder. I really want to play Black Powder. Tom and I have been talking about it a lot, which you know because our Black Powder episode is our most popular episode. I think it has about 150 downloads or thereabouts. It's far and away the most popular episode we've ever done. And this podcast has been going on, in the new form, not incredibly long, but this podcast has been around since 2005 or so. So we're one of the oldest gaming podcasts you'll find in iTunes. Granted, we took a break for a while, a couple times actually, but we are back here strong every week, giving you roughly an hour. So Battle of Alusti, I'm looking forward to because of Black Powder. And like I said, Tom and I talk about it a lot, and you guys seem to like it because, that's a lot of downloads for us. And then Remember the Alamo, I can't think of any American kid who's heard about, the War for Texas Independence and the fights with Mexico and, heard about the mythology and the fact behind, Alamo. Remember the Alamo. It's a rallying cry. So I'm looking forward to that. If nothing else, it'll be just cool to be in the Alamo. to have the figures, and I don't know how the game's going to play out, but I'm looking forward to it. All of these games, especially if you go into Hazard, you will have, you know, read what these games are and any requirements and stuff, but all of these games are games that beginners can get into, and that's really important for me because I'm not someone who tends to remember, you know, rules or whatever unless I play them for a while. So I have to, like, go back and double-check and everything. So the fact that at a con, most of the events, unless, you know, we're talking a tournament, but most of the events are things that beginners can get into, that's huge for me. So that's going to be really cool. So all of these events are things that beginners can get into. Just a brief rundown in case you're interested. Hopefully you're already going to the con if you live in the area. But if you're not and you're still thinking of going, I believe you can still register in person at the con. I'm not sure if there's still room at the hotel, which is the Portland Fireside Inn. But there are other hotels nearby, I'm told. You could do a little searching online. So hopefully you'll be able to go. But if you're wanting to get into these games, and hopefully there's still room. I pre-registered very early, and I know that I'm in these games. But if you're interested in hopefully either getting in them or learning a little bit about them, I'm just going to read you a little bit of the blurbs that they have on the HazzaCon website, which you can find at HuzzaCon.com. So the first one, Raiders of the Sulu Sea. It's a homecrafted event using 28mm naval games set in 18th century Philippines. It's being run by Mike Payne. And his little description says, it's 1775, and the Sultan Muiz ud Din Has ordered his Moro pirates on a slaving raid as retaliation against the Spanish colonizers at Fort Pilar Zamboanga, located on the Zamboanga Peninsula, Mindanao, in the southern Philippines. This is a lighthearted pirate raid. Kids and adults are welcome. Beginners strongly encouraged. Anytime I see something that says beginners strongly encouraged, I know it's a good thing for me to get into to try, but also it's a good thing to talk about on the podcast because not everyone of you who listen are experts in the games. And, you know, I don't claim to be an expert. Tom doesn't claim to be an expert. We're here, we play what we play, and we know what we know. So it's always good to learn something new. This looks to me like a really cool game. I like naval stuff, like I said. I know that I most likely butchered the names, and I have a friend of mine, Paul, who's actually Filipino, who's probably, if he listens to this, and Paul, I don't know if you do, but if you're listening to this, you're probably groaning inside, because, I mean, you grew up there. So you feel like, oh, John, you're just butchering these names, and if you have the correct pronunciation, I am happy to listen. I don't ever claim to pronounce everything correctly, but I do try to do my best to get it to be correct. There's a lot of other games going on at Huzzah, but the next one that I'm actually playing in, it's Saturday afternoon, and I am actually just, if I had done my homework already, I would have gone ahead and went through the event listing and found what I needed, but sadly, I did not, so I am working through this live as I am recording. But the next one is Battle of Alesti. It's for up to 8 players. It's 28mm American Civil War Black Powder Rules by Chris Bugonzi. Chris, if you're listening, I hope I pronounced your name correctly. His description says, following the Florida, Atlantic, and Gulf Railroad, Seymour led his 5,500 men in the direction of Lake City at approximately 2:30 in the afternoon of February 20th, 1864. The Union force approached General Finnegan's 5,000 Confederates entrenched near Alesti Station. Finnegan sent out an infantry brigade to meet Seymour's advance units and lure them into the Confederate entrenchments, but this plan went awry. I don't know what side I'm going to get put on. I don't know if I want to be Union or Confederates, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be maxed out. As far as I can tell, this is one of the only, if maybe the only, Black Powder game being done. There may be other American Civil War games being played as well, but I don't recall any, so it's possible it's the only ACW one. It's a huge anniversary for the ACW, so this might be filled up if you have not already booked, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and you can be sure that I'm going to be reporting on it, especially since we've been talking about Black Powder so much. The last game I'm actually playing in is on the same day. Like I said, it's Remember the Alamo. This uses the Legends of the Old West Alamo rules. It's 25mm, 1830s Texas, run by Billy DiGiulio. And Billy, if I ruined your last name and you're listening, I apologize profusely. And if you want to tell me how to pronounce it correctly, I will be sure to correct that in a future episode of the podcast. So Billy's little description of his, you could call it episodic, I guess, of his episodic game. It says, it is dawn on the 12th of March, 1836, in San Antonio de Beja, and the Mexicans are beginning their final assault on the rebel-held mission of the Alamo. Will Santa Anna recapture the citadel and keep the Texas province slave-free? Or will the brave Texicans hold out against impossible odds and keep the idea of a Texas republic alive? This game uses hundreds of 25mm figures and a 5-foot by 4-foot scale Alamo. Come play and find out. The thing about this that really won me over, besides the fact that it's an Alamo, and like I said, who wouldn't want to fight in the Alamo? Remember the Alamo. Is when I read that it has a 5x4 scale Alamo, that's awesome. So I know that's going to be really cool. I'm sure the Alamo is going to look fantastic. 25mm is a nice scale. I'm used to 25mm. I'm used to 28mm. So I am definitely looking forward to that. There were a couple other games that I was hoping to get into. There's one called The Last Kills. It uses the Check Your Six rule set that I always thought would be cool. And then there's a bunch of Wings of War events. Sadly, there's only so many games that can play in. They're doing some World War II, lots of World War II stuff. Plus, they're doing some Flames of War tournaments, which are being run by, who are they being run by? I think they're being run by Gordon up at, I can't remember the name of your, Adler Hobby. I think they're being run by Adler Hobby. I think they're early war kind of stuff. As far as I know, they are qualifiers for Nationals, which of course will be done in Historicon. So if you're not yet qualified and you want to be, I'm hoping there's still room. Sadly, I don't know, but you definitely would want to get in touch and go to the Huzzah website and register and see if you can get into them. If you want to be playing Flames of War and getting your qualification in, because that would be really cool for you to be qualified to go to Nationals. So, Huzzah, these are some cool events. One other thing, actually, it's really cool, and I know our friends over at WWPD News from the Front will enjoy this, but for anyone who's into estate sales for deceased estates, or, you know, just any sort of secondhand market to get good things cheap that you can work with or whatever, they will be having, I guess for you listeners over in the UK, you would call it a bring-and-buy or a boot sale, I guess, kind of, but it's going to be an indoor bring-and-buy. It's a flea market where you'll be able to go and see what people are selling. I'm sure there'll be models. I'm looking forward to go take a peek at that because I need to see if I can find some Flames of War stuff that I need. I am looking for, oh, what the heck's the name? It's a tank repair tank. And I can't recall the name of it, but no place nearby seems to have it. And I've looked and looked, and I can't find it, so I'm hoping they have it. I'm also, of course, looking to see if maybe I can find some more Perry miniatures for Black Powder, maybe some Cool Terrain or something, but naturally I don't want to break the bank. A cool thing about my going to Huzzah is that this weekend right now, actually, yesterday, Saturday, was my one-year wedding anniversary. So my wife and I are going to Portland to celebrate our anniversary. I'm not really sure how I managed to get her to agree to go to Portland to a gaming convention for our wedding anniversary. If I can figure that out, I'd be happy to tell all of you, because I'm sure some of you guys might be interested in that as well. She's not a huge gamer, but while I'm gaming, I know she'll be doing other stuff. Plus, we're going to have plenty of time, actually, for ourselves to go shopping, go out to eat, go do some fun stuff. When you're not gaming, you might want to go ahead and, you know, get a bite to eat or go out somewhere. One of my coworkers, actually, her son-in-law and her daughter are foodies. They're really into going to cool places to eat, getting awesome stuff. And there's two places that she recommended. One's a morning kind of place, and one's like an actual restaurant. So the morning kind of place is actually in South Portland. It's maybe a 5-minute drive from the hotel where the convention is being held. It's called Scratch Baking Company. And they make all sorts of baking stuff. They do bread, bagels, they do all sorts of like sweets and everything, and like cinnamon rolls or whatever. They're open Tuesday to Friday, 6 to 6. My wife and I are actually going to be down at the convention as of Thursday and, you know, seeing Friday and Saturday, of course, coming back Sunday. But if you're just going Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they're open till 6 on Friday. Saturday, they open at 7 in the morning and stay open till 6. And Sunday, they open from 7 to noon. They're over at 416 Preble Street, P-R-E-B-L-E, and that's in South Portland. They have all sorts of stuff, but one of the things that I really enjoyed that I had there, well, actually, I didn't have at it, but I had from there, are their bagels. In my work, one of our compatriots, I guess, who works at up in Maine, came down to, you know, hang out with us and see what we do and learn some stuff and for us to learn from them. And when they came down, they brought bagels from Scratch Baking Company, and they were some of the most delicious bagels I have ever had. Of course, if you're trying to watch your weight and trying to be, you know, more of a healthy eater, if you're someone who listens to the Gatestormers and like what they do over at the Health and Gaming Project, then you might not want to be having lots of bagels. But come on, it's a convention. You could go and, you know, just splurge. But they do special bagels and bread each day of the week. There's something different every day. If you go in on Thursday, they do seeded, they do black bread and ciabatta. On Friday, they do organic multigrain, olive, and, of course, ciabatta. They do ciabatta again on Saturday, plus apricot oat and wheat levain. And then Sunday, they do anadama and something else. They also do baguettes after 11 in the morning. So they do all sorts of really cool stuff. And right now, you're hearing my bunnies in the background because I don't know why. Maybe they're just having some fun. But Sally's redecorating her cage, and Malcolm's deciding to tear apart a ball of hay. I've long since decided that I'm not editing that out because I know other podcasts, you can hear their pets, and in one of our previous episodes, you were able to hear Tom's dog and his kitty, so our bunnies can make an appearance now and again in this podcast. So I do apologize for that, but I am just going to go ahead and power through. In addition to bagels and bread, they do all sorts of other sweets. They do, like, bear claws on the weekend, and like, they just do all sorts of different treats and everything. They're really cool. I've only had the bagels, which were fantastic. I really have to give a shout-out to Scratch Baking Company for their bagels. They're amazing. But they do, you know, English muffins and just all sorts of different stuff. So it would be a cool way to start your morning by just taking the five-minute drive to go to Scratch Baking Company and get some stuff. They're really popular, so I would recommend getting there as early as you can to make sure that you get what it is you want to get. And then, you know, later on in the day, you might want to go out for dinner. Maybe it's just you and a bunch of your buddies who went for gaming. Maybe it's you and a spouse who went or whatever. But there's a restaurant over at 43 Middle Street. It's in Portland. It's a few minutes drive from the convention site. It's actually almost right on the water. But it's kind of like near downtown Portland. It's called Duck Fat Restaurant. And my coworker said this is really good. They have amazing fries, amazing sandwiches. You can find their menu online at duckfat.com. They have the menu right up there. All sorts of different stuff. Everything looks good. I've never had anything from them, but I'm told they're really good. I'm told they're reasonably priced, which is really cool. That's one thing I didn't address about Scratch. Scratch you can find at scratchbakingco.com. Their prices, from what I'm told, they're pretty reasonable as well. So they're both really cool. Of course, if you are staying at the hotel or the convention, it's a Fireside Inn and Suites. They have a restaurant right in there. It's called Zachary's. I don't know anything about it, but I mean, it's right there. You don't have to go anywhere. You can just head on right over into it. It's part of the hotel. You go. I've seen the pictures online. It looks cool. I don't know what it's like. But I mean, I'm sure it's pretty good. So it could be worth a try. Something else to check. There's all sorts of shops and everything to go check out in Portland. I'm told there's some really cool walks. And then I can't remember the name of it, which is unfortunate because, I mean, I'm giving you information. I should have the right information. But there's some sort of island kind of thing off of Portland, like close enough that you can take a ferry. And it's like, I don't know, like $5 or $6 to take the ferry. And you go out and you can go and you can walk around. I think there's a lighthouse there. Sounds like a cool place to go, especially if you're into like nautical kind of stuff, if you're into lighthouses or whatever. I think my wife might be going. I love lighthouses, so I probably would be going too, maybe. But it's just supposed to be a really cool kind of place to go. I'm sure we're going to be spending most of our time, not just me, but I mean us as gamers, playing games at the convention. But it'd be nice to get out, see Portland. Portland's supposed to be a cool city. If you live in New England, it's, you know, pretty far south in Maine, so it's accessible. It's off of 95 and everything, so it's not too bad. I think for us here, it's not that bad of a drive. From what I'm understanding, I think it's like a 3-hour drive, which is actually, I mean, it's not bad. It's not as great as it was when I went to TotalCon, because that was like a 10-minute drive or something. No, not 10 minutes. You know, like 20 minutes or whatever. But still, it's a main someplace else to go. It's kind of cool. Fireside Inn looks really good. It's the second year that it's being run. So I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, my friend Adrian's going. He and I are playing in the Battle of Alesti together. If you're going, I hope you'll come up and say hi to me. You can see pictures of what I look like on our Facebook page. You can see pictures of what I look like on our blog, wargamingforums.com. And one way you'll be able to tell it's me is because I'm a large guy. Not, like, too large, but I'm, you know, like, 6 foot and a large guy. And I'll be wearing a black T-shirt that says Battleground Games and Hobbies on it. I'll be supporting my local store. Shout out to Derek and to Chase, if you're listening. So I will be there. I'll be representing Battleground unofficially because I'm a huge fan of Battleground, so I'll have that. And I'll be playing in those games, like I said, you know, on Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and Saturday evening. So please feel free to come up, say hi, tell us what you think about the podcast, about the blog. So I will be there doing that. I might even get to record a little audio. So if you do come say hi, I might be able to record you. I'll be bringing the audio recording equipment with me to use and maybe get a little brief interview with you to talk about your time at the convention. And, you know, you could perhaps appear in this very podcast as a result of that. Let's see. Moving on. Like I said, I've been talking about the convention just because I'm really excited. But the show's kind of getting on, you know, we talked about 20 minutes or thereabouts. But I did just want to touch on a couple other things. One, these are just kind of like brief announcements, I guess you could say. So one, in case you're not aware, I am now the official temporary guest co-host of the Gatestormers with my friend Drew. We recorded our second episode of that a week or so ago, and I believe he just released it. You can find that by going to thegatestormers.com. That's T-H-E, gatestormers.com. Be sure to put the word "the" in there, because if you just look for gatestormers.com, you're going to find some sort of religious ministry, which the podcast is not affiliated with. So Drew's blog is thegatestormers.com. We talked about 40K and gaming and our local store and stuff. And speaking of the Gatestormers, our previous episode of the CWF Gamecast featured my interview with Drew. So we talked about all sorts of stuff, such as World of Darkness role-playing games and how to pick a D&D game. We talked about 40K. We talked about a bunch of different things. So that was really cool, and that's out. And you guys have been listening because I've been seeing the downloads of that. So hopefully you enjoyed that. We have all sorts of guests that show up on the podcast. And speaking of things that people talk about and guess, Tom, you know, recorded the Neil Shook episode not too long ago, which we released, and you guys are enjoying that too. We have quite a few downloads of that. But the cool thing is, Tom recorded another episode with Neil. Neil and him talk about, they actually do a review, a joint review of the of one of the rule sets in. You know what? Tom's been talking about it, and he's probably listening to this and saying, Jonathan, I've only been telling you like 5 million times, you should be, I think it's Force on Force rule set. I think that's the one put up by Osprey Publishing. Neil did a review on Meeples and Miniatures. And they do a joint review here on the show, which we will be releasing, you know, soon. As a result of actually my going to HazaarCon, this episode that I'm recording now that you are, of course, listening to is probably going to be the only original episode you will be listening to for the next week or so, because I'm recording this, you guys are going to be listening to it within 48, 72 hours maybe from this Sunday, and then I will be getting ready to go to the convention, come back, and I think I might have to re-air an old episode or pull something out of the vault for you to listen to. I don't think Tom and I will have a chance to record a new one, but we do have a little bit of a backlog, which it's nice because of times like this, so I can just pull something out and put it together and send it out to you. Oh, there was something else. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I was looking at, for me, it's a recent one, a recent War Games Illustrated magazine. It's the, issue 280, February 2011. And I was flipping through it because Tom and I, like I've said, we've talked a lot about the Black Powder rule set. And I was just kind of curious, you know, who's actually playing Black Powder and what's it looking like and everything, because Tom and I have been discussing sizes of games and, you know, what do you really need and everything. There's this awesome Beasts of War, I think it was an awesome Beasts of War YouTube video where they were at Salute, I believe, and they found Rick Priestley and they talk about Hail Caesar, and which of course is very similar to Black Powder, And Rick Priestley says, like, how they play with lots of figures on a large table, and that they use a lot of people to play. At least 3 people play per side, because that just happens to be how many people they have when they play. And the reason why it's a large number of figures is because they've been collecting a really, really long time. So they own lots of figures, and then they kind of pull them together. And then the reason why it's a really large table is, well, these are, you know, the people leading the hobby, and they have been doing this for a very long time. So they've accumulated a lot of stuff, large table, lots of gaming terrain, lots of models. Of course, if you're just starting out, it's not something you're going to be able to do. You're going to start small, and, you know, over time, if you stick with it, you work your way up. Cool thing about historical gaming, which is, has been so foreign for me, coming from this whole GW metric, is that you buy the figures, and it doesn't really matter what rule set you end up adopting, because you just hang on to the figures. And as long as you choose a rule set that's appropriate to the scale you're collecting, whether it's like 40mm or 10mm or 28mm, that you can then take your figures and use them with just about any rule set. You might have to do a little rebasing or something. By and large, you're all set. Whereas like with GW, you're always buying new models all the time, and you're only using GW models for the GW rules. If you want to go play a different, you know, fantasy game other than Warhammer Fantasy, you need a different set of models. If you want to play a different science fiction game instead of 40K, you need a different set of models. But with historical gaming, you don't. So it's really cool that like you can just buy the models and then find the rule set that works. So if you want to just start into historical gaming, or this type of historical gaming, like what I'm doing, or my friend Adrian is doing it, a few others of us actually at Battleground Games and Hobby are doing, because we're all kind of psyched about the Black Powder rules, we're collecting our stuff, and you know, it'll take us a while to get a decent sized amount of stuff. But we can collect for 5, 10, 15 years or whatever, and then down the road, we'll adapt to the new rule sets. But in this issue of War Games Illustrated, and I kind of got off track there, but they talk about Fallen from 2010. So I know, obviously, that's an older convention because it was last year. But on one of the pages, they actually talk about a game that was used in the Black Powder rule set. It's actually, yeah, it's an American War of Independence, an AWI game, The Marines' First Blood, Battle of Princeton, 1777, which was presented by Mike Kelly, using the Black Powder rule set. It says, the newly raised Marines find their way out of Tun Tavern, Philadelphia, in time to join Washington's Army in New Jersey for this iconic battle. And they had a great picture of the models. It looked really cool, and actually above it was another AWI game, but this one was using All the King's Men 2.0 rule set. And I think it's 54mm models. They looked really cool. But I thought that was really cool because I saw it on the same page. But one thing, while it's flipping through, I noticed was there's a mention here of the I-95 Gamers doing a Flames of War Early War Doubles Tournament. And there's a great picture of the table with some, you know, tanks and stuff being moved around. But in the top right corner is a picture of our friend Steve McLaughlin. He's looking down to what I'm assuming is a table, because I cut the picture off. He's staring down with his glasses, and his friend Sean's there. They were teammates playing there. They have these cool little, you know, name tags on that hang around their neck with their microphone, the icon from WWPD. But in the description, they reference that it says, doubles partners included Steve and Sean from the FOW podcast, What Would Patton Do? Above. So it was really cool that, you know, Steve and Sean and the people over at WWPD, our friends over there, made it into War Games Illustrated. So I want to say congrats, guys. I know this is an older issue, and your listeners who might be listening to our show are like, oh, that's old news. We listened to that ages ago, or read that issue ages ago. But it was really cool. Not as old as that, a little newer. In the March 2011 issue of War Games Illustrated, they actually do AWI breakdown of, and you're hearing the bunnies again. I am terribly sorry about that. But they do an AWI breakdown in this for a game. And at the end of it, and this is something I really enjoy about War Games Illustrated, because they give you, like, the scenario, and they tell you, like, what happened and everything. But then at the end, they're like, oh, wargaming this scenario. Like, what do you have to do? And in it, I believe it was an AWI one, but I might be wrong. It may have been, actually, I am wrong. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. It's an ACW scenario, Bronner's Farm, 1862. But they give you the order of battle for the Union and for the Confederates. And they tell you what you would need to do for Black Powder, because Black Powder for this is their preferred setup. And there's actually one in that February issue where they talk about a rule, and I think it's the Mahdist Wars, M-A-H-D-I-S-T Wars, and they mention that you can use a bunch of different rule sets, but that their preferred one, again, is Black Powder. So I think it's really cool that people everywhere seem to be really picking up and using the Black Powder rule set. I think it says a lot about Black Powder that it's kind of fitting for a bunch of different time periods, fitting for a bunch of different wars, that people are able to pick it up and use it, and that it fits. So it's, you know, you don't need to buy 20 different rule sets because you want to fight 20 different eras or areas or whatever, that you can cover what you need to cover with Black Powder and still get it in, and you just pay the one price for the rule book. The book's amazing. It looks cool. It's a great coffee table book. And it fits all sorts of different stuff, so it's really cool. I've been rereading the rulebook to get ready for the game Battle of Lusty for HuzzaCon. I know it's a beginner game, and I don't really have to. But I also actually got the DVD Gettysburg that has Martin Sheen in it to kind of get myself in the mood for it, to gear up for it. So I'm looking forward to it. So it should be really cool. That's basically the show. This is about roughly half the length of our normal shows. I'm probably about the half-hour mark. I do want to say, actually, I owe a big apology to Henry Hyde over at Battle Games Magazine, because Henry recorded this really cool promo for Battle Games, and he sent it to Tom, and he sent it to me, and he sent it ages ago, actually, for us to start putting in the podcast, because we have, you know, that little closing at the end where you hear my voice, and I'm like, Battle Games. CWF Gamecast is sponsored by, you know, 12-7 Games, and I give the little blurb, and then I talk about Battle Games being a contest sponsor, and then I talk how you can find us and like the Creative Commons and how we're on, you know, Xbox Live and this and that and everything. So I've been using that, but I haven't been using Henry Hyde's new promo for Battle Games. So I owe Henry, I'm sorry. I just forgot to use it. It's not that I don't like it or anything. I've forgotten, but I will be using it for this one if I can find it, which I'm sure I can. So it will be in there, so everyone will be able to have the featured debut of the new Battle Games promo here on the CWF Gamecast. So we will have that. I'm sure there's other stuff I should talk about, but honestly, it's so much more fun to talk about things with Tom, and there's just tons of stuff to talk about. But anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. This is, you know, the HuzzaCon special, I guess. Pre-special, really, because after I go to Huzzah, Tom and I will be talking about it and dissecting it and everything. And, yeah, that's about it. That's our show. So I want to thank everyone for listening. Of course, you know, when I wrap this up, which will take a moment or two, we're going to have our usual, you know, music to game by segment, so you'll be able to listen to some more music by Stratos, a.k.a. Brian Borgman, who's working on his special monster game, Kaiju Chaos. I think he's getting close to unveiling it. So we're going to have that and, you know, everything. But this will be our show. I hope you enjoy it. As always, if you want to give us any feedback, we are happy to have it. You know, good, bad, ugly, whatever. Constructive criticism is always welcome here at the CWF Gamecast. If there's stuff you want us to talk about, stuff you don't want us to talk about, stuff you want us to talk about more often, we're happy to have it. Again, hats off to our friends over at WWPD. Many, many thank yous to Henry Hyde over at Battle Games Magazine. A huge thank you to Bill Detmers, who's the owner of 127games.com, our sponsor, and of course, a big round of applause for my co-host Tom Barbalay, and another huge round of applause for Neil Shook, because Neil is just an amazing guy. I love listening to Meeples and Miniatures. It was a joy that Tom got to record with him not once but twice. Got to interview him for here on the show, which hopefully you enjoyed. Hopefully you're still listening to and telling your friends to go ahead and download. But also that he has another episode, which I will be releasing at some point, where they do a joint review of the Force on Force rules. So please be sure to check that out. We will be having more reviews of products coming out. I am waiting for the new issue of WSS to be coming out. I've been assured that a copy is on its way to me, which I have not yet received, but hopefully it will be coming soon. So we'll have a review of that. Tom, I know, is looking to do a review on some figure cases, which he's getting. So that would be pretty cool, too. And, of course, I'll have a, you know, recap, review, whatever you want to call it, of HuzzaCon. So thank you for listening. As always, keep on gaming. And I hope to see you at Huzzah. Thanks.
say, Major, what on earth are you doing?
It's this blooming issue of Battle Games. It appears to be wearing some kind of futuristic armor. Pass me the can opener so I can try to get it out.
No, no, Major. That is an iPad.
Good Lord, man, don't be daft. It'll never fit under me monocle.
No, Major. The iPad is just another device you can use to read Battle Games magazine, because it's available in digital form as well as on paper.
Digital? What's that? A magazine with fingers? Well, there's still too much newfangled stuff in here. All these tanks and Blitzkrieg Commander and plastic now. They seem to be condoning the replacement of good old-fashioned lead. This is outrageous.
Yes, but there's still plenty of good old-school content as well, like command challenges and even a smattering of Spencer Smith's, what?
Yes, true, and those maps are first-rate. And I've read some excellent book reviews, and articles comparing rule sets, and how to make things, and interviews with some jolly interesting chaps. Well, I've got to admit, I've been converted, so get me a pigeon, I need to place an order.
Converted? Excellent, Major. Committed, more like. Come and visit the website at www.battlegames.co.uk, where you can find the magazine on paper for instant digital download or even on CD, so you can simply choose whatever suits you best. You could be downloading and reading your very first issue of Battle Games in just a matter of minutes, so why not give it a try? Battle Games, the spirit of wargaming.
The CWF Gamecast is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 12-7-games.com. And contest sponsor, Battle Games Magazine, the spirit of wargaming, available at fine hobby shops throughout the United Kingdom and beyond. Subscribe online at www.battlegames.co.uk. This recording is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for the CWF Gamecast online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter and Facebook. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.